Today on the Mike O'Mara Show.
This is your bride, Shannon.
We're celebrating our 10-year anniversary.
Would you like to start with a heart of a smoked Scottish salmon encrusted with toasted nori, apple noodles, and horseradish cream?
Fresh is the salmon?
It's very fresh. Mm. Very fresh.
Straight from Ocean City?
I got it from the koi pond. Okay. A carpaccio of herb-crusted Elysian Fields baby lamb loin with Caesar salad ice cream.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Wow. The lamb sounds interesting. How young was the lamb?
Have the lamb stopped screaming, Oscar? Politicization? What is it? Politicalization?
Yeah, let's go with Oscars.
Politicalization.
Well, it's politicized.
Or politicization.
I think there's a Z in there.
I don't like the politicizing of...
There you go.
Probably not a word, but we'll use it. Winner.
Why am I doing a podcast in my...
All that and more. The Mike O'Mara Show starts now. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Today's episode of The Mike O'Mara Show is brought to you by our bonus packages. Please go to MikeO'MaraShow.com and click on the bonus banner. You'll get access to all of our bonus content, and even better, you'll be helping out TMOS. So please, quit sucking, and we thank you.
Available on demand every day in iTunes and the Google Play Store, and around the world on MikeO'MaraShow.com. What more can we do for you? It's The Mike O'Mara Show.
I have the earworm of earworms that I believe I'm driving my family away because I'm becoming so obsessed with this song. And it also makes me jealous of Rob, because the earworm Rob is Higher Ground by Stevie Wonder.
So weird, because I almost played that as one of our records today. I pulled a different Stevie record. let me grab it real quick. Hold on.
Now, and a question for you, Rob, because I've been obsessed with the drummer, too, who's a natural lefty drummer. So he drums like this, dot, 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 dot. And he's a big, fat guy, and he's fantastic. And that song, Higher Ground by Stevie Wonder, when they hired this guy named Stanley Randolph, I believe that's the drummer's name, Stanley Randolph, to play drums for Stevie, that guy, he took it to a whole nother level. It was fantastic, I tell you. And it's just Stevie Wonder, who never loses a register. By the way, happy birthday to Stevie Wonder this week.
Oh, wow.
70 years old. After Rob described that concert, one of the best reviews of a concert we've ever had on the show. Rob was so full of love for Stevie. I have been obsessed with trying to go see him the next time he tours, because it just looks so cool. And the only place I can find that Stanley Randolph drumming with Stevie on Higher Ground is I think he's like at a drum workshop or something. I can't find a live version of and you know it's out there somewhere. You know it's been recorded.
Because what he's been doing is Stevie's been touring with the album Songs in the Key of Life. So this is not on that. So most of the tour footage you're going to see, he'll play the entire album, and then he'll mess around a little bit at the end, and he also played Superstition, which is traditionally his closer. But it's not one that he did on that tour. So it must be tough to find.
It's very, very frustrating, and it's just such a great song. And
Oscar, did you know that the Red Hot Chili Peppers, did you know when they did it was a Stevie cover?
Oh, I did not know.
Yeah, this is the same
song.
This
is the Red Hot Chili Peppers version, which is another great version of it, by the way.
It speaks
well to a tempo.
Speaks well to a well-written song. It can play good in two different genres.
Picture them all with their shirts off, dancing around right on the
Always
Letterman
do.
Show.
Yeah.
They did a great live version on the Letterman Show of this song. Fantastic. Listen up. This is the Chili Peppers version.
This makes so much more sense now. Yeah, I could see that.
And you know what else on the Higher Ground, the Stevie version, Mike, is the bass player. Was Stevie's bass player.
Another big fat
and
bass player.
I should know his name, and I don't, but he actually, on the most recent tour, is still playing with Stevie and serves as the band leader. And to watch him play is a thrill. It is so amazing.
To watch
amazing.
A guy that is such a virtuoso that he plays with such a lack of any appreciable effort, and you just see his fingers going, and then you look at Stevie, who sits up there and that, that's all Stevie on the keyboard, right?
Yeah.
That's him doing.
I think it's called a clavinet. It's built by Hohner, the harmonica company.
Oh, my God. I've been possessed by this song.
I love the
You know how I, remember when I came in, last time I did this was La La Land.
Yeah.
When
yes.
I'd gone to see La La Land and I came in and I missed out. But that's about my limited knowledge of Stevie. Because, Rob, just in a thumbnail, that concert you went to last year, right? Was that concert
you know
you
what?
Went
it
to
was funny because I actually, when I saw it was his birthday, I went into my videos. The first time I saw him with Robert was 5 years ago. And then it was 4 years ago when I went with my mom. Because I went and saw that tour twice because it was so mind-blowing.
So it was 4 years ago? Was this, really?
Yeah.
I thought it was last
what's,
year.
What's the ticket price for
I'm
like
losing
that.
Track of time.
I think they were good seats were like $90 to $100.
Mm.
But he had to go to Baltimore. So, you know, that... That's a
are you
surcharge.
In ball bus mode? Oscar's been working all day, so Oscar's come in. Oscar's just going to change to his favorite narrative right now. How much were those tickets that you can't afford, Rob? Yes, I thought I'd tell you that right now.
No. I was surprised that Stevie, for a Baltimore arena, it wasn't like a $300 deal.
And that's the weird thing. It was the old concrete Baltimore Civic Center. It was, and the sound was great.
This is with Sting.
Okay.
I'll do my Stevie Wonder impression when he just goes. I can't get that high. 3, 2, 1, Stevie.
People.
Are we going to get the flag for this?
If we don't play it for more than a minute, I imagine it'll be okay.
I got it. I got the running time.
Awesome.
I thought I'd give it to Oscar so he'd be able to hear. This is the most recent one I could find.
And he Shut has no sight.
What? He's blind?
Thank you. Good to be here.
Man, I just can't get enough of that song today. It's in my head, and it really transported me. And
it's positive.
My family hates it when I have my new speakers that I hooked up.
You
I
are lucky because
there,
how many times you've gotten a song like a Rupert Holmes song stuck in your head, and that's utter hell.
God. Mm. Holding hands in the rain. Do you like penis coladas? Speaking of pina coladas, tomorrow the TMOS cocktail party starts at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, ladies and gentlemen, and we are going to be acquiring frozen margaritas. Mm. And your boy will be putting a tiny little Grand Marnier topper on his.
That's some class right there.
So who knows? Mm. I might be the guy.
Dangerous.
I might be the guy.
Danger zone.
Yeah.
Danger
if I start
zone.
Screaming, you know, I want you to get up out of your chest. I want you to lean out the window and said I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore.
My guess is Peter Finch moment.
My Peter Finch moment, which, by the way, thanks to my new favorite network, Turner Classic Movies, I watched Network in its entirety.
Oh,
and,
it's so good.
You know, being a fan of Faye Dunaway and Mommy Dearest, I realized that Faye Dunaway was kind of a scenery chewer in whatever movie she was in, right? It's always kind of like this.
Yeah.
I'm
yeah.
an actress. Yes, there I am.
And you
I'm
know what?
An actress. Here I am. Oh, dear. Oh,
it's
damn,
not just
damn.
A splash of red paint. It's a splash of red paint on a white background because she's opposite an old William Holden, who really is... really reining it in and doing a great job. But when he's like, I don't know.
Smoker,
and then Faye Dunaway is like, ba, 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 ba.
If you would like to go back and see a generational movie, if you would like to really, well, one of the great things about Turner Classic Movies is that it is a time machine, and you literally can get on certain films a feel for the age. And if you want to get a feel for the 1970s, I urge you to watch the movie Network, because it shows the tail end of the go-go 60s, where It was drinking, smoking, drinking, smoking, drinking, smoking, drink. And you can see, God love him, with William Holden, you know, what that lifestyle looks like. He would be probably my age or so, but he looks a lot older because it's just been, I think, the lifestyle that they had back then. But what
you know
movie
how
that
Holden
is.
Died, right?
Fell and cracked his head open and
from drinking.
Bled to death. Yeah, from yeah. He got
what
a little
accident?
Loaded.
Yeah, there was.
Well, he would
there
have
was
gone
a,
soon anyway. But
there
I
was
think,
a long running sketch that they tried to get on Saturday Night Live. They used it to gauge how much the guest host was into comedy, and they'd say, "We want to pitch you on a sketch. It's called the William Holden Drinking Helmet." And if they agreed to do it, they were
they were cool.
They never did.
They
the
were
sketch,
cool if they agreed to do it.
But it was the gauge. That was the gauge for them.
That is so beautiful. That's because that's it. That's what it. We do yep. makes me feel closer to those people. That's what they like. That they did. That's awesome. That's the way I feel about comedy. I mean, really. That's it. In a nutshell, that's what it's all about. The William yeah. Holden.
Oh, we want to pitch you on
think
an idea.
That would be appropriate, you know. Oh my God. Oh dear. You know, I told the Irish. I told the Irish girl telling the guy with no legs at the sea joke,
yes.
and it just fell on a guy that obviously
oh, no.
didn't have a sense
oh, well.
Of humor.
Mm.
You
oh,
know,
well.
You got to have a little a little gallows humor to have that. So welcome to the Mike O'Mara Show.
Before we move yes. on, I have a question for yes. you about network. When you watch it, are you still a little stunned about how they predicted where media would be now back then?
Oh, it's so prophetic. It is really amazing when you think about ratings and what we've become.
And reality it was the TV. It basically reality predicted TV. Reality TV. Yeah.
Ratings at all costs, reality TV, inexpensive to produce. Get a guy up there that's having a meltdown. I'm watching Dr. Phil, a clip of Dr. Phil. Have no idea where this piece of tape came my way, was okay. doing a little surfing. And Dr. Phil has a young lady that's up there with her family, and they're doing some kind of intervention. Right. And this lady is obviously seriously under the effect of methamphetamines. You can tell, you know, you've seen the people on the streets mm-hmm. when they're mm-hmm. they're running their hands through their hair and they're doing this.
Yeah.
And it's just, you want to talk about, you know, exploiting for ratings. Look, I'm sure maybe Dr. Phil is going to do this young lady some good, but they're, you know, she runs out of there. They have backstage cameras where they're right. following her down the street.
Oh, like Jerry.
And yeah. they do
Leaning
a
Jerry.
Drug test on her that shows up for meth. And I'm sitting there, okay, that's all well and good, but you're putting a camera on a lady that should be in the hospital.
You're celebrating
like,
it.
Like
yeah.
there.
Yeah.
At that
making
moment.
A fame. Yeah.
Because people seize. I've read a lot about methamphetamine. I mean, it can really put you into cardiac arrest. You can have lots of, and they got the camera yeah. running on this
but
lady.
Your house
and it's
has
just
never
like,
been cleaner.
It was horrible to watch. And I'm looking there going, say, I understand you're trying to lecture her parents, Dr. Phil. And it's always the sad parents that are up there. It's always the non-invasive parents,
right.
you know, where the father's just like going,
mm-hmm.
you know, kind of looking. Remember when I used to yell at RJ? Remember the look he'd give me? All right.
Yes.
All the parents had that look at Dr.
Like,
Phil.
What am I supposed
Dr.
to
Phil,
do?
Dr. Phil's looking at him going, you have to throw your number away. You have to throw your number away because if you don't, she will call you. Here's what she's going to say. She's going to say there are more drug addicts in here than there are out on the street. I'm doing badly. And you cannot enable her. And then the father's going, yeah, with this blank, you know, the same stare he's probably given her for her whole life. But
did
it's
the
just,
father have a towel over his shoulder?
No. The father has a big square crew cut with a mustache. And then, it's just, I don't know. We have, you were talking about network, but that's where we are. The
yes.
bigger the train wreck, the more we are conditioned. And everybody likes yeah. that. Everybody likes to stop and look at a car wreck. I mean, that's what people, that's the human condition.
As far as
you know?
Seeing the future, I've seen both these films, but EdTV really showed us what we can do with cameras. And mm-hmm. TV with Matthew McConaughey.
Yes.
Yep.
Right. But what separates right. them is that when Network was made, the whole idea of reality TV was almost a fanciful idea that might never happen.
Yeah.
By EdTV, reality TV had already sort of started.
What about broadcast television then?
You mean broadcast news?
Yeah, broadcast news. I'm sorry.
broadcast news was there, but it was like that was going on. Networks were cutting people, and we experienced that. That's the way. You know, I get flashbacks to our careers and my career in particular when I watched that guy from Amazon talking about COVID, and he was just so smarmy, and he was the operations guy, and I literally sat across from a guy named Randy Bongarten who came in to WAVA and lied like a dog because in the culture of broadcasting back then, these men, and there were a select few, there were certain guys really good at it, and they were good at liquidating radio stations. They were good at terminating radio stations, and in their job description, in their own twisted psyches, there were no ethics.
No.
There were no come on in and give everybody a heads up. It was come on in, get people to be as calm as they can while you implement your plan. And then later on, we had a guy named Sam Rogers, who was a similar guy, a little more bombastic and a little more
shaggy.
I don't give a rat's ass. So he kind of telegraphed. Wouldn't you say, guys, that he maybe telegraphed it a little bit more? The demise
coming. You know, that there was a clear respect for the bottom line and minimal respect for talent.
Yep. That's all. No respect for talent. Yeah. I mean, I had a meeting, a last ditch meeting, kind of to sing for my supper and lobby for wanting to stay on because I knew it was coming, and he arrived 35 minutes late.
Yeah.
For our lunch meeting. Mm. So I sat in a restaurant by myself at a time. No, I knew it was nice because I immediately knew. Mm-hmm. I knew exactly where I stood with that.
Did you have any apps?
You don't know, what's that? No, I don't think I had any apps.
While you waited?
I think I was pre-show, so I was actually, I wanted to
be. Well, he was ahead of his time with social distancing, certainly. He stayed away for 35 minutes.
And then he made the decision and brought in, because he was a Penn State guy, brought in his buddy.
Yeah.
How'd that work out? And then he got fired from CBS. So, I mean, it goes around, comes around with that. But these guys that are like that, there are bottom line kind of guys. And then there are people that are talent people. They're few and far between in the broadcast industry. I think they exist probably more in, and somebody's going to like scream right now when they hear this, in television and film production, simply because the creative output is so much more important.
Yeah.
Ultimately, a movie, if a movie's a great, great movie, you're going to get the accolades for that. In radio, it doesn't, you get a great ratings book, you get great PPM ratings. It's not so much
the bottom line, radio has been significantly devalued and devalued and devalued, not just as a financial thing, but is a part of people's lives. It's less important to people now. And
it's so sad to realize that in so many markets it's this sameness that exists across the country, especially in smaller markets.
We've got some outliers like KCJJ, right?
Well, that is important because he is so local that he provides something that is indispensable.
You're talking about the outlier of outliers
there.
A guy that owns the station and can do what the F he wants to do.
Loves the content.
Thank God.
He's crazy, which is another thing.
He's bat as crazy. But I still, when I hear Bob decided that he was going to take the weekend off, I want to drive my car into a ditch. Mm.
I hear you. Yeah.
I want to drive because I guess it exists in other places now with podcasting and with stand-up, but it still should be on the radio. You still should have a guy that grows up in the town and wants to work at the town's radio station.
Yeah.
And they give him a shot, and that's the way we would be better for it if you had radio stations, local radio stations that would hire somebody local and or somebody that was coming out of college or something like that.
It's called the Tommy Lang effect.
Yeah.
Tommy Lang. Mm-hmm. Tommy but Lang. Yeah. Local born and raised kid from the area, right?
Mm-hmm. I've said it a long time. You know, radio has tried for so long to get bigger and bigger and bigger in iHeartMedia and iHeartRadio. But if radio truly wants to survive, now it has to be local. Because that's what it can provide that no one else can.
Live and local.
That's what radio needs to do. But they're still thinking, I agree. That's why I watch Channel 5 in the morning, because they have the national stories, but they still focus on Washington, D.C., which I love.
Well, I will tell you in a moment here why we were watching the local Fox affiliate. I guess Fox, the only one that does it, where they don't shoot to something like CBS This Morning or the Today Show. And believe it or not, I get a little burned out on the divisiveness of everything going on and the politicization of politicization.
Yeah, let's go with Oscars.
Politicalization.
Well, it's politicized.
Or politicization.
I think there's a Z in there.
I don't like the politicizing of...
There you go.
Probably not a word, right, but now we'll use it. Winner.
Why am I doing a podcast in my... Why am I not on network TV? We want to know. I think that...
Politicalization. Is the proper.
Thank you.
I think that it gets, everybody gets crispy on it. Everybody gets burned out on it. And still, as we scurry through this with all of our doctors and all of our scientists, they still don't know. And there's still new little things popping up each and every day. One piece of advice. I will get political for 1 second here.
All right.
If I'm going to buy a, say, life-saving piece of equipment. Like, for example, if I need an iron lung, because my lungs are, and I got a choice between person A and person B.
Yes.
If person B happens to be, if Jared Kushner comes walking into the office to sell me that iron lung, are you going to buy it from him? I ain't buying it from him.
No.
He looks like a little weasel germ. He does look like a little weasel germ. Yes.
I'll take it a little further. If Jared from Subway or Jared Kushner come in to sell me an iron lung and I have to choose which evil Jared I'd take.
Mm-hmm. I think Jared from Subway would be more personable.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the evil that
he's a pedophile. If you don't know that he's a pedophile, I'm talking about just the guy that walks into the office, you know, just like,
because if he's Kushner out there would sit down and go,
because Kushner would sit down and go, "Hello, may I help you?" Yeah, but Jared from Subway, you know, he's like, personal on those
ads.
You look
like a guy just lost a lot of weight.
Yeah, and you know, if he's out there selling iron lungs, he probably leaves the pedo stuff at home. You know, he's out there getting it done.
But you're not even aware of the pedo stuff.
You don't know.
You don't know. That's right.
You're not even aware. You are just perceiving this on Jared Kushner and Jared from Subway. You don't know either one of their backstories. I'm just talking about the way they roll in. They dress the same, by the way. Yes. So the one guy will come in with like a pedo cardigan sweater, and the other one will come in with one of those skinny ties. I'm buying it from the pedophile.
Yeah, but you don't know he's a pedophile.
He's a pedophile. I'm just using that as a reference.
That's a non-issue at this
still in jail. Is he still in jail?
Still in jail.
Mm-hmm. All right. Just to make sure.
It's funny that he should, if he even makes it out of jail. But it's fascinating how these guys that are still in jail are still in jail, and the guys that somehow had ties to the administration are not in jail.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah, very, very interesting with that one. Very.
So they're allowing themselves to isolate.
I'm buying it from the creep. They're both creeps.
From the creep.
Yeah, they're both creeps, though.
Lesser
they're
of both creeps. Evils. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, so, but I will tell you that I get scared when I hear how much power about doing this, because we don't know. We don't know anything. That's the impression I'm getting. We really don't know what's going on. Sister's coming up to Maine. I don't know. Hey, what do you think? Boy, it'd be nice to take Michael to Universal to see that that wonderful Jurassic Park ride that they have up there.
Yes.
Do you think we'll ever be able to go back? I don't know. Mm. Hey, boy, I tell you, football's coming too. Do you think they're going to have games in the stadiums without fans? I don't know. Mm-hmm. Do you think they'll ever have fans back in the stadium? I don't know. Think they'll have separated stadiums? I don't really know. Think there'll be a vaccine? I don't know. Think there'll be something that'll cure it? I don't know. Nobody knows. Nobody knows anything.
We know one thing is that for... an amazing restaurant, a 3-star Michelin restaurant. The Inn at Little Washington has never gotten more press than the fact that they are doing mannequins in their dining room.
That's right.
This we know. We talked about it briefly yesterday, but it was all over the national media today that he's putting period-dressed mannequins.
My buddy Patrick O'Connell, one of the greatest chefs in America. And,
yes, I've never ever been there. I'd love to be there.
Oh, my God. Well, it's here's the deal. If you
5-star restaurant, right?
Three Michelin stars.
Three Michelin stars.
What does that have to do with this?
restaurants in the country. And Patrick O'Connell, is one of the greats, one of the all-time greats. And We've been there. We've been there multiple times, and it was incredible. And it was back when, of course, I had a few more shekels to rub together. Because right now, I checked the price when I heard that story. Right now, prefix menu, not including wine, $1 million to
wow,
to sit down and enjoy a meal at that restaurant.
Can I ask you a question?
Does that include the tip?
I ate a tempura fried cicada there one time.
I am wow. Such a rube. And such a chicken fingers guy that I don't know why they call them Michelin stars. I really don't.
It is actually the same company that runs the tire industry, but they have a guidebook.
Do you know this, Rob? Do you know this, or you're making this up?
No, this is true, because when you see the Michelin guide, it's got the Michelin man on it.
Yeah.
It's got the guy. They're related, but it is a international worldwide system of rating restaurants, and if you can achieve a Michelin rating, it's huge. I believe that's how it works.
It's from the tire company, though?
Same company. Yeah, I think it's a French company.
Michelin?
I'm checking right now.
I don't think that's correct. I mean,
well, why don't you look it up? I am on the homepage of the Inn at Little Washington.
Is it better than the Palm?
Oh yes.
Oh yeah.
Oh yes, yes it is. It's incredibly. It's a foodie's place. It's a gourmet place, and it's awesome. I'm looking at the
Michelin. I've heard Michelin chefs. I was like, well, that must be something important, but I've never actually put together like the stars and the chefs and the restaurants.
See, at a great restaurant like this, they don't put a sample menu.
I was not far off. The Michelin company, which is actually called in France, Compagnie Générale d'Establissement Michelin, is the tire company. But because they are a tire company, they also were known for publishing travel guides.
Oh. Rob, do you have any light classical? Do you have any light classical there that you could find there? Because I am looking at the gastronaut's menu. And I'm not talking about going to the moon. This is the gastronaut's menu. For Stoutos, hello. It's not French, but I'll do the French accent. Because
please.
I think that works. Oscar Santana, we are glad. Is this your bride, Shannon?
We're celebrating our 10-year anniversary.
Would you like to start with a heart of a smoked Scottish salmon encrusted with toasted nori, apple noodles, and horseradish cream?
Is the salmon?
It's very fresh. Very fresh.
Straight from Ocean City?
I got it from the koi pond. Okay. A carpaccio of herb-crusted Elysian Fields baby lamb loin with Caesar salad ice cream.
Ooh.
Ooh.
The lamb sounds interesting. How young was the lamb?
Have the lamb stopped screaming, Oscar? A chartreuse of Maine lobster and Savoy cabbage with white wine butter sauce.
Oh, who doesn't love that?
Can I pick my own lobster? Where's the tank?
It's not a tank. We don't have a tank, you rube. Unless
you have to go down to you have to go down to the Bass Pro Shops. They've got a tank there. You jump in, catch a lobster.
I'm trying to make this menu sound shishi, but he's so good at what he does. A sandwich of pan roasted quail with braised endive and huckleberries. I'm your huckleberry.
Wow!
Do any of these come with a side of fries?
They don't have a side of fries, but for the dessert, you will receive a very special item for you alone, Oscar. We have a ho-ho and a Twinkie for you. Thank you.
It's the Michael Mara Show. Listen to the Michael Mara Show.
I'm in.
www.michaelmaraShow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's the Michael Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
Okay, you paid the money. You're expecting to see a professional show, so let's not waste any more time. Let's go with professional show business. Hey! Let's go.
Well, not too many people smoking out here tonight. That's pretty good. Kind of bothers some people. If you're in a sleazy place like this and people start smoking, you know, it doesn't bother me in a nightclub because I'm used to it. If I'm in a restaurant, though, and I'm eating and someone says, "Hey, mind if I smoke?" I say, "Oh, no, do you mind if I fart?" It's one of my habits. Yeah, they got a special section for me on airplanes now.
Holds up.
I quit once for a year, you know. But I gained a lot of weight. You know. It's hard to quit. You know, after sex, I really have the urge to light one up, huh? See, I'm not a very tactful person. You ever start talking to someone and you forget what you're going to say and you're standing there going, gee, I was going to say something, I forgot what it was. And they always go, well, it must not have been very important, you wouldn't have forgot it. I would say, oh, I remember, I'm radioactive. Shake. Okay, we're moving now, eh, folks? Yes, this is comedy.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. Mike O'Mara, Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana. And now, from his easy chair, here's Mike.
We are live from the Podcast Village Studios in our nation's capital, Washington, D.C. This is the Mike O'Mara Show. Hi, everybody. How are you? Hope you're not having a bad day. Hope you're having a good day. Remember, wear your mask when you go outside. Wash your hands. Try not to stand too close to people. And for the love of God, if you go into one of those hair salons or gyms or restaurants, you know, don't stand 2 feet away from somebody. Better yet, use your own judgment because you're on your own. From Deer Park, New York to Helena, Montana, or Helena, Montana.
Helen! Helen! Bring the axe!
Rochester Hills, Michigan. Lakeview, Oregon. Lee's Summit, Missouri. Porto, Spain, Trinidad. The Mike O'Mara Show is on now. And we love our friends at Cornerstone,
yes,
just downstairs. Mortgage loan availability has fallen to a 6-year low. That could be good for you. Lenders have recently reduced programs and raised minimum credit requirements to offset potential losses from COVID-19. So it's more important than ever to work with a team that you can trust. The team at Cornerstone First Financial is keeping up with the latest changes to make sure you get the best rate and the best program for all your mortgage needs. Whether it's a purchase or a refi, their low rate guarantee and the fact that they are a lender and a broker allows them to have all the programs available, not just one size fits all. Call my friend Mark Livingstone at Cornerstone First Financial, 202-625-1221, or online at cornerstonefirst.com. As states reopen, buying and selling housing activity will be unprecedented, and people will need to tap into their home's equity.
Yes.
Don't call a loan salesperson. Call a loan pro. A professional, huh?
Huh?
They teach you that here? Cornerstone First Financial, 202-625-1221, or cornerstonefirst.com. Cornerstone First Financial, personal attention from application to closing. See the blah, blah, blah.
You use them when you did your house.
I think it's a sign of aging that I'm messing up.
Oh, no,
no. I think it's the fact that we're all going nuts. We're all squirrely.
It's A-OK.
Is that what it is?
A-OK.
Yeah, things are moods are high.
Watch me the Ultimate Fighting again last night, UFC.
What did you
do? Enjoyed it.
Up there in my home state of Florida, right up there in Jacksonville, empty building. And yeah, it's great.
Right.
I like the Warriors. I like the combatants. Carla woke up and came out and watched the main event with me at the end of the evening.
Is she more into it than she was at the last time?
Yes, she was. No, she likes to poo-poo it, and then I just give her a look, you know, where she's like, okay, go in there. That's right. Cut yourself. Get your brain damage. And I'm like, I'm going...
Yeah.
I'm watching here.
Yeah,
I'm watching
here. We're all
enjoying
this.
Wasn't the same card that they had on the weekend? I think they kind of bring in the second-tier troops for the Wednesday show. But still, there they are. They're Warriors,
and
these guys.
You've bought into the sport. It's something different.
Isn't Wednesday sort of serve as like a promo for the weekend event? Because the weekend event is big.
Yeah, they
right?
run a lot of promos for the other events that are coming up. But I still don't like Dana White. I don't like Dana White's demeanor.
Dana White.
First of all, Dana White and Joe Rogan like look like twins, and Dana White's just got this kind of big, giant bald head, and he's like. His mouth is always like.
They're on the same workout regimen. Like,
they said
HGH. HGH.
It's like, that's Dana White. It's like, and then, you know, he stands in back of them for all the weigh-ins.
Yeah,
and you see Dana White just going. I like that. There's something about Dana White that has always struck me as illicit. I mean, I have no idea. I think the man's a gazillionaire, and he's done very, very well. But there's something about him that strikes me as like he's got an underground bunker somewhere where people are cutting up coke or something.
The evolution of this sport has been, it's been checkered, because you think about these athletes and what they're putting on the line and what they're being paid and what is guaranteed in the prize money. And the comparison has always been – why don't boxers and UFC fighters make more or less money? Boxing is a dangerous sport, but UFC is infinitely more, I guess, not just dangerous, but lethal.
Right.
And the idea that the UFC does not, like any other industry, they protect themselves and not the fighters. They don't pay them nearly as much as boxing, like large events would ever get paid.
Rob's like looking in a mirror. Pictures, everybody.
A lot of this bad press comes with some like warranted conflicts where how does this sport exist? Now,
I mean, I think when I'm watching it, I think that if I was involved in it, deeply involved in it, it might wear out your old inner government a little bit when you're thinking the fact. Well, but also you go to sleep realizing, okay, you know. How many of these guys are totally effed up by the time they're 28 years old and will never, ever be the same? And there's a look, I'm a barbarian for watching it. I don't think you are.
I think it's the sport has become so mainstream in the last, I would say, 3 to 4 years. Mike?
Well, that's because we don't mind watching people get pummeled. You know? we don't mind. But if I'm Dana White, you might want to just sit there at the end of the day and kind of go, oh. You know, you get desensitized.
Yeah, you want to take a pause sometimes.
I don't think that man's built that way. I mean, if
you want to know, it just would seem to me that if you were to take from a finely conditioned man of 205 pounds that is solid muscle and you fall forward while he is driving his knee into your temple. That gives you an idea what they go through.
Pony, this is from the Pony Desk in Fairfax, Virginia, for all you Pony Boy fans.
Yes.
UFC fighters receive substantially less head trauma than boxers.
Because of the amount of time, right? Because
the main event this past weekend.
I misread this text. I'm glad he put the word trauma in there because I'd misunderstood it at first.
But he's right. He's right about that.
I mean, technically, yes. Yeah. But also, think about it. The idea, I think, just not the knee, the leg strike, the choke hold, like all of this, it's so brutal.
It is.
It's brutal, but it's
wonderful to watch.
It's brutal, but it's
what
brief.
What does it take? One strike?
No, I'm talking about the amount of time.
Yes, it is brief.
You have most of these fights, three rounds. I think the other, the main event is five rounds. Mm-hmm. I think it was, that's tops. But you get 15 minutes, five-minute rounds.
Heck, look at you. I love
and
this.
You get five-minute rounds, three rounds, and it's over. So you don't need more than that if you're going to dispatch somebody if you're superior.
Boxers,
and there are a lot of decisions, you know.
With the boxing and the repeated hits to the head, do you suppose that is more damaging than the brief?
That's 1,000%.
Okay,
absolutely,
right.
You get a guy, you know, you're down and you're not using the boxing gloves, but you talk about a 15 round fight.
Oof.
But you still get it with the UFC guys, and there's there's a vocal quality that they have. The guy from Brazil, Teixeira, who won the heavyweight match last night, he had it. And you see this big guy, and the voice you expect is going to be, I'm very happy.
Right.
I'm very happy that I dispatched the southern man from Nebraska and that I was able to knock him out. Instead, what you get is, hello, hello. And you realize there's that kind of timbre where it's just like, I just want to say, I'm real happy, I want to fight. They get that. It's inevitable.
Yeah.
Your brain's squishing around in there with all the blows or a leg kick. But I think Pony is absolutely right. I think that, and how often do I say that on the show?
Oh, no.
Well, Pony knows because of his years on the tour.
No, Pony knows because of his association with Big O and Dukes, right? Pony's into it?
This blood sport, Mike, started in Japan, if I'm not mistaken. So,
Muay Thai.
He's got his roots.
I'd love to have Pony here right now to talk about it. Is he available?
Yeah.
Is Pony available by phone now? Can we hear him?
He can get on the phones.
Pony, get on the phone and talk to us about it because I'm very curious.
Sir.
Now that I'm into it, I'd like to really know what your thoughts are, and whether you sit down and enjoy that.
This is where we can go sideways because his timing may be terrible. Like he may be just dialing in now, figuring out how to get on.
I'm going to wait for him this
time.
Yeah,
you're going to wait.
I'm not going to let him screw it up. I want to hear I am actually genuinely curious.
This is fantastic. Let me start a stopwatch.
All right,
I've got it.
You got it?
Now, 30 seconds ago, we said, Pony, why don't you call in?
Yeah, so there's a 15-second delay. So let's give him the 15 seconds.
I thought he kept himself on hold for the whole show.
And now, you know what? He might be on now. Let me unmute him.
Pony, are you there?
Yes, I am.
There he says it was your fault. It was Oscar's fault.
No. He wasn't on the line the entire time. He was not. I can see
you weren't. Because I have a delay.
You weren't on the... Okay. So, Pony, when did you get into the whole thing?
I'm not really a big UFC guy, but I screened calls for Luke Thomas back at JFK years ago. And Luke Thomas did a UFC show.
Luke Thomas is one of the premier UFC, or I would say just Ultimate Fighting reporters in the country.
Exactly. And I remember him talking about this all the time, that boxers are standing up for long periods of time, just getting hit in the head over and over again. But with UFC, there's more grappling, the rounds are shorter, and just tend to have less head trauma.
So did that ever come up on one of Luke Thomas's shows? And by the way, I'd love to get Luke on the show. I'd love to talk to him,
Mike,
since I'm kind of a newbie to this. And by the way, all that stuff I said about Dana White, I do not mean it. At all. I love him.
You're a comic, right? And you say silly things. No,
I say so, but if I ever met the man, I would be terrified. If he said, "Hey, I heard what you
I heard what you said about me."
He doesn't talk like that. He looks like he should. "Hey, we got a great fight for you. And we've got Bruce Buffer, who's over here
Brian.
The corner." Here we go.
Brian
it's
Buffer.
Bruce. Is it it's Bruce? Bruce Buffer.
I thought it was Brian.
Isn't it Bruce Buffer?
I thought it was Gil.
Is it Brian Buffer or Bruce Buffer?
Bruce is a good name. I hope it's Bruce.
Michael Buffer, Bruce's half brother, by the way.
Yes.
His half brother. And by the way, Bruce Buffer, an accomplished martial artist himself. I bet you didn't know that. I know that because I'm starting to, when I get passionate about
it. It is Bruce. Of course it's Bruce Buffer.
I know what I'm talking about. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I happen to know his net worth. $15 million. That's how much Bruce Buffer's worth. There you go. I check into that because I would be an astonishing ring announcer.
You would.
Mm-hmm. I would be an astonishing ring announcer.
How about getting through the ropes, though?
Yeah. Pony, is there anything you'd like to add about mixed martial arts?
No, I think it's a fascinating new sport, and I think it's much safer than boxing, at least in the sense that you have the far less head trauma and people are allowed to end a round or tap out when they reach their limit.
Yeah, but it's not a new sport.
It's really not.
It's
been around forever. You were screening calls for Luke Thomas 10 years ago. So,
yeah, it's been around for a good long time.
Yeah.
Pony, maybe this might be a good time for you to tap out.
You know what, Rob?
That's it. All right. Hey, everybody. Rob, there's something for everybody. We're going to have a nice balanced show today because what is your nostalgia corner today, Rob Spiewak? What do you
it
have
It is the Humphrey Bogart classic, The Treasure of the Sierra Madre.
Ooh.
All right. Now, for all of you that really love the discussion of mixed martial arts.
There's a lot of overlap here, Mike.
I'm going to get a snack.
Bathroom break. But I love Humphrey Bogart.
And you know what?
That one movie?
Yeah, and I can sell you on this movie because it's got facets in it that you don't understand that you'd probably never thought about. It's really good.
All right, very good. We're going to take a break. We'll have Nostalgia Corner with Rob Spiewak when we come back on the Mike Omena Show.
This is Gary Busey. Sometimes I like to buy things, but now is not the time to go out to my local box store to stock up on Busey essentials. Things like Cheez-Its, Vaseline, shoelaces, and tape. So I use the TMOS Shopping Center, Target, and Walmart. It's right there at MikeOmeraShow.com. It's like I always say, shopping online puts the cream cheese on your dog's nightly daydream. Buseyism. By the way, I shopped like this way before COVID-19. You see, managers asked me to stay out of their stores. Something about upsetting the shoppers. They've been asking me to cover my face since 2014. Remember, this really works because you can't go fishing if you don't tie up the gorilla cabbage. Buseyisms. The TMOS Shopping Center. I love it at MikeOmeraShow.com.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. There's a brand new sponsor we've got. It's called Best Fiends.
Yes.
If you're looking for a fun way to pass the time while engaging your brain with great visuals and a gripping story, your answer is Best Fiends. Best Fiend is a casual game that anyone can play. Best Fiends, rather. But yes, it's made for adults. You can spend as much or as little time as you'd like in the game. Perfect for a little break at a time. Cocktail
level
time.
Level 63, Mike. Level 63, and if anyone has any tips on how to get those boxes open, send them to me.
Rob Spiewak going crazy. Please. And Rob, your connectivity is a little shaky right now. Are you experiencing that, Oscar?
I'm looking into that as we speak.
Thank you.
You can spend as much or as little time as you'd like in the game. Perfect for a little break. Best Fiends is a unique and exciting puzzle experience, unlike any other. Best Fiends updates the game monthly. Once you start, you can't stop. It's fresh, it's fun, and it's cute. And it's a blast beating the levels. Best Fiends is great anytime. It doesn't require internet to play, so you don't need to worry about Wi-Fi access or using cell data. No bandwidth? No problema. Spend some time with your Best Fiends. Engage your brain with fun puzzles and collect tons of cute characters. Trust me, with over 100 million downloads, this 5-star rated mobile puzzle game is a must play. Download Best Fiends free on the Apple App Store or Google Play. That's Fiends without the R, Best Fiends, everybody. All right, so let's dive into the Nostalgia Corner. It's back into the world of cinema, and Rob Spiewak's going to talk about Humphrey Bogart today.
I think this is the second Bogart film we've done, because we did The Maltese Falcon, which was also directed by John Huston. But we go to 1948, and this is called The Treasure of the Sierra Madre. And this is the music. It's by Max Steiner. Great score. And it's got an amazing cast. I already told you it was directed by John Huston. Humphrey Bogart plays Dobbs. Tim Holt plays a character named Curtin. And in very cool casting, Walter Huston, the father of the director, plays Howard. So you've got a grizzled character actor being directed by his son. The plot is essentially this. Two guys, played by Humphrey Bogart and Tim Holt, are down on their luck in Tampico, Mexico in 1925. And because he wins a small bit of money in a Mexican lottery, Humphrey Bogart is able to finance a gold expedition with these three guys. Mm. Because Howard is an experienced prospector, and he sort of talks to them about how great it can be and how they can go out there and score their mother load. They can really become rich.
Score the mother load.
The thing that's so great about this movie, this is not a typical Bogart film. It's not a gangster movie. It's not a Private Eye movie. Actually, his character is quite weak, which is not normal for a Bogart character. So we meet him. He's actually panhandling in the town of Mexico. If you're a fan of Bugs Bunny movies, there's a Bugs Bunny cartoon where he's rescuing a penguin, and Bogart continually hits up Bugs Bunny for money throughout the movie, the cartoon, and that's a parody of this scene. This is Bogart panhandling in Treasure of the Sierra Madre.
Hey, mister. Will you stick a fellow American to a meal?
Such impudence never came my way. Early this afternoon, I gave you money. While I was having my shoes polished, I gave you more money. Now you put the bite on me again. Do me a favor, will you? Go occasionally to somebody else. It's beginning to get tiresome.
Oh, excuse me, mister. I never knowed it was you. I never looked at your face. I just looked at your hands and the money you gave me. Beg pardon, mister. I promise I'll never put the bite on you again.
This is the very last you get from me. Just to make sure you don't forget your promise, here's another peso.
Thanks, mister. Thanks.
But from now on, you have to make your way through life without my assistance.
Because John Huston actually played the man in the white suit, Bogart directed that scene. So John Huston did not direct himself in that scene, and Bogart took great pleasure in making him do about 15 takes, even though they ended up
that's
not needing to.
I like that. So John Huston, one of America's best directors, too.
Oh,
great director.
Really, yeah. Really a fine director. And so they go out on their expedition with the two guys that are down on their luck and this crazy prospector. They get into the wilderness, and they think all is lost. They're really at the end of their rope. And then they make the discovery.
I'll leave him alone.
Can't you see that the old man's nuts?
Nuts! Nuts, am I? Let me tell you something, my two fine bedfellows. You're so dumb, there's nothing to compare you with. You're dumber than the dumbest jackass. Look at each other, will you? Do you ever see anything like yourself for being dumb specimens? You're so dumb, you don't even see the riches you're treading on with your own feet. Yeah, don't expect to find nuggets of molten gold. Rich, but not that rich. And here ain't the place to dig. It comes from someplace further up. Up there. Up there's where we got to go.
And that clip is great because it shows that they really think that the Howard character, that Walter Huston, is just mentally unstable. But it also shows what a remarkable actor Walter Huston is. And after filming with him, and Bogart was at the top of his career, he said, this is a quote, "One Huston is bad enough, but working with two is murder." Because Walter Huston was just such a great actor, and you can see him in other movies like Yankee Doodle Dandy, Dodsworth, and he also was in The Maltese Falcon. He said when he won an Oscar for this role, he said, many, many years ago, I brought up a boy and said to him, son, if you ever become a writer, try to write a good part for your old man sometime. Well, by cracky, that's what he did, because he won his father an Oscar by writing him the part. So they find that gold, and they work the mountain, and it's arduous, hard labor. They battle the elements, they battle each other, and they even battle the federales, and this is one of the greatest lines in Hollywood history.
Oiga, señor, we are federales, you know, the mountain police.
If you're the police, where are your badges?
Badges? We ain't got no badges.
Oh, there it is.
We don't need no badges. I don't have to show you any stinking badges.
Better not come any closer.
No sea tonto, hombre. We didn't try to do you any harm. Why don't you try to be a little more polite?
Yeah, be a little more polite. As you see, they get so consumed by the greed that it becomes apparent in the third act of the movie that Howard, the old man, is the most sane of the three, because the other two just sort of crumble based on greed. Bogart's deterioration is one of his best performances, if not his best performance. And again, he shows weakness, which is not common. I'm not going to ruin a very satisfying ending, but it's clever and it's worth a look. You should know this, that Steven Spielberg based Indiana Jones' look and some of his characteristics on the Bogart character in this movie. So if you're a fan of the Raiders of the Lost Ark anthology, you should take a look.
Did it win anything?
Oh, this movie won Best Actor, and it was nominated for a lot of things.
Okay.
But right. Houston won Best Actor. It was the first American movie to be made on location outside of the United States. The AFI says it's the 38th greatest movie of all time, a big inspiration for Sam Peckinpah, and it's always cited by Paul Thomas Anderson as his inspiration for There Will Be Blood. He loves
you know
that
what?
Movie.
You've done it again. You've done it again. I hear these nostalgia corners, and more often than not, I want to run out and watch this movie and check it out. And what's it's Treasure of Sierra Madre?
The Treasure of the Sierra Madre. And the thing about it is, and this is what I want you to remember, this is an amazing character study that masquerades as an action film. And it's worthy of several viewings, but if you don't watch it once, at least you are doing yourself a disservice. What a great film.
The Treasure of the Sierra Madre with Humphrey Bogart and directed by John Huston.
Yes.
And starring his father, Walter Huston, who was pretty long in the tooth at that particular time, right?
Yeah, it was, I think, one of his last movies. And also, right. The movie is so damn dusty that after you watch it, you're going to want to take a shower, I promise.
All right, that's awesome. Very good. That's Nostalgia Corner. We'll take a break. When we come back, more fun and more thrills on The Mike O'Mara Show, everybody.
And the Lord spoke to his people, providing them these 10 commandments. Thou shalt not worship false podcasts. Thou shalt not use the name of Mike in vain. Honor thy father and mother by buying them a TMOS bonus package. Thou shalt not kill Oscar on Facebook. Thou shalt not steal Rob's little sounds. Thou shalt not covet Mike's wife. We pray in the name of Mike O'Mara, Rob Spiewak, and Oscar Santana. Download in peace.
Dan, put down the tablets and take out the trash.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, everybody. Brought to you by Liquid IV. Here's one of the things I love most about Liquid IV. I got a closet full of it here. I love it. They're on a mission to change the world. Liquid IV is donating 2.3 million servings in response to COVID-19. They're donating to hospitals, first responders, food banks, veterans, and active military. It's just awesome what they're doing.
Great
dehydration, it occurs in 75% of all people, which leads to headaches, brain fog, muscle fatigue, dry skin, and more. To stay hydrated with water alone, you'd have to drink 8 full 8-ounce glasses of water a day. Thankfully, there is Liquid IV, the fastest, most efficient way to stay hydrated. One serving of Liquid IV provides the same hydration as drinking 2 to 3 bottles of water alone, and proper hydration can boost your immunity. Liquid IV contains 5 essential vitamins, more vitamin C than an orange, and as much potassium as a banana, with no artificial flavors or preservatives, and it has less sugar than an apple. Liquid IV is available nationwide at Target, Whole Foods, and Costco, or you can get 25% off when you go to liquidiv.com and use the code TMOS at checkout. That's 25% off on anything you order when you use the promo code TMOS at liquidiv.com. Get better hydration today at liquidiv.com, promo code TMOS, and remember, nationwide at Target, Whole Foods, or Costco. So I have a question. We have time for a short break here, and yeah. I have a question about dogs. You know that I'm getting a Boston Terrier, so I'm getting mm-hmm. Winslow. Winslow is three. Hey, Carl, is Winslow 3 weeks old today? Winslow is 3 weeks old today. By the way, I like my new studio that I'm able to do that. She's in the kitchen.
Just ask a question.
Yeah, we're having squash soup for dinner.
Oh, squash soup is fantastic.
Oh, well, I'm glad you like it. You want to come down here? I'm not as excited as, you know.
Oscar, you want to know what the deal is with squash? Squash tastes like what you cook it with. Mm. So that's it. Yeah. That's any squash. Pumpkin, squash. Zucchini, any squash.
Right. Squash. So Carla's been posting pictures of Winslow online. My question is it Boston Terrier puppies or is it all puppies? When do they start not looking like larvae? When do they start looking like
when I saw the pictures of Winston, Winslow, forgive me. I always
How
think
dare
back
you.
To when they cover when news media organizations cover the birth of a giant panda, they always seem to say the same thing. Right now, it's the size of a stick of butter, and that's kind of what your dog looks like right now. Yeah, stick of butter
or a dumpling.
I want nothing more than to have a better relationship with Winslow than I have with our other second dog, who's now looking down on us. Hello, Beluga. I love you. I hope you're doing well up there. And
Are you
Frankie
sure?
And I,
he went up and not down?
Yeah. Oh, no, he didn't. No, he's a perfectly innocent dog. Don't say
okay.
that.
Okay. All right.
Bite your tongue. And I will say that Frankie and I have become closer, but Frankie's still a brat. Frankie's a total brat. Like, Frankie sleeps on the end of our bed, and Frankie's like 4 inches long. You know, right. This tiny little chihuahua. And we wake up in the morning, and Frankie's at the end of the bed, and all I am to Frankie is a way to get out of the house and get a treat. And either pee, sniff, poop, but that's all I am. But he won't come over to me just to give me a thank you. So I wake up, I look down at the end of the bed, and he's like, he's got his...
He's got
chihuahua
nervous
eyes
chihuahua
going
eyes.
Like this.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, come here, Frank. Come here.
Aww.
And he won't move. And then I said, well, I think somebody probably wants to go outside. And then, bam, he's on my chest.
Right.
It's like, so think about that in the world of a dog's brain, a dog's little peanut brain. He won't come to me. He won't come to me when I'm just going to give him a little affection. But when he knows that I am going to be his shill to get him outside, he is all over it. That's how Brad. Let me try an experiment right now. All right. Let's see if there's any chance in hell that he will come to me. Frankie. Come here, Frankie.
So sweet.
It is. Good boy.
Come here, Frank. Frankie,
sweet
come.
Boy. Sweet boy.
Come here, Frankie. Frankie, come.
Nothing.
No.
You get zero butt kiss.
Frankie. Oscar, would you be able to call Santos right now?
Yeah. Santos! You're Get
here,
over
Frank.
Here!
Well, no, it's here, with Frank. The language.
Hello. Oh, nothing. Come here. Nah, I got nothing.
Oh, nothing.
Nothing.
I am blown away.
Hey! Oh, wow.
I am blown away.
Wow.
Well, we know this dog loves treats and show business. And
I didn't say the word. I didn't say the T word. I didn't.
I know,
say
but
the
he knows
word.
He's going to be on the radio, and he loves show business.
Can you hold him up like he's Simba and Lion King to the camera, please?
All right, hold on. Hold on.
Thank you.
All right, here we go.
Ready?
Here we go. Michael, can you bring me a treat for Frankie? He might not take it. He might not take
Mike,
it.
Mike, what a sweet dog. Maybe he knows he's got a new model coming in, so he's got to put in his time.
No, he's a sweetie. There he is. No, hold on. Hold on, treat's coming. You want?
Yeah,
treat?
There's a treat coming. You don't have to go anywhere,
hold on.
Little
don't,
buddy.
Don't push off me like a cat. Okay.
There you go. Aw, isn't that sweet?
No, he won't take it.
He'll Why take won't it he take it?
Here you go. No.
Because he saw Carla?
There you go.
He's like,
he takes it right now.
Mommy will give it to me.
There you go.
Yeah, good. I want it from her.
By the way. What?
He came to What happened?
He came to me while Carla was sitting on the couch eating a Slim Jim.
Oh,
that
wow.
is fantastic. And he got a treat for doing it. Isn't that awesome?
Wow. That's sweet.
I remember when Frankie left a Slim Jim at my chair at your old house.
Yeah. Frankie left a lot of Slim Jims around.
Every day. Behind the drums. There's a whole pack of Slim Jims.
Well, he gets a lot of attention out in the neighborhood for the people that care. There are two types of people in my neighborhood right now, and I don't want to get into a whole thing because I could
do an hour on this,
but I don't want to get into a thing. There are two types of people, all right? There are the people that wave and the people that don't. I'm somewhere in between. I wave almost all times I see anyone. Mm-hmm. If they seem at all pleasant, I'm going to wave at them. If they don't seem pleasant, I'm not going to volunteer. I've gotten tired of offering the wave and having it rebuffed. Here are the people that don't wave. People that are into their own trip looking down. They're not going to wave at you. Don't bother with it. The other people that don't wave, people in cars that are driving fast. People that are rude enough to drive fast through a 20-mile-an-hour neighborhood are also the dicks that aren't going to wave at you. So those are the people I don't wave at. But the people that that wave are usually the people that acknowledge my little pooch Frankie. Aww. Right there. Yeah, and so it's like I had a great exchange with this older lady who was there going, oh, he is adorable. I said, well, that's Frankie. And she goes, oh, Frankie, that's so wonderful. And I love that little moment, those little mundane neighborhood moments. And then there's a guy that just walks by stinking, grunting, hunched over into his own trip. So the moral of that, if you live in a neighborhood where you're interacting during these times, I think it uplifts people if you interact with them on the smallest of levels.
Now more than ever.
You don't have to have a dog to say hello.
That's right, Oscar.
Put it on a t-shirt. So when you're out riding your bike, Oscar, or Rob, when you have your face pressed up against the window, just wave at somebody.
Those windows aren't going to lick themselves.
That's right. Here's the window licker in that house right there. Probably shouldn't have said that. But anyway, we were referring to Rob. We have to take a break.
When
we come back,
that's all.
We'll come back with the news you may not need right here on the Mike O'Mara Show.
P1s, come and get your cocktail party. Come along, my little ones. Champagne, drunken wives, all free on Friday. I've lots of lovely goodies for you. Naughty words, mixed drinks, maybe even ice cream, treacle tarts.
Treacle tarts! And ice cream. And all free.
Come along, kiddie winkies. Come along, my little dears. My little mice. What will it be? Carla? Shannon? Superstar Carrie? It's all on Facebook Live. Go inside, my little dears. And all free on Friday.
Love when he says live. Facebook live.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by our shopping center. Here's a coronavirus update.
Oh, good.
In an effort to, Rob Spiewak prepared comedy. In an effort to speed up the discovery of a COVID-19 vaccine, people are actually volunteering in laboratories to be exposed to the coronavirus. Bill Cosby said if it would help, he would gladly expose himself.
Gross.
The U.S. Park Service has announced a partial reopening of the Grand Canyon next week, just as soon as they get enough people to roll back the biggest f***ing tarp you've ever seen. And Americans continue to be baffled that Donald Trump is not wearing a mask in public, but it shouldn't be shocking. After all, if a guy doesn't wear a condom to bang a porn star, an N95 mask is obviously the least of his worries.
Luckily,
the TMOS shopping center never sucks. You can get things from Target and Walmart safely from home. Hit up MikeOMaraShow.com. The banner's right there. Instant access to Target and Walmart. Just make sure that you access them through our banner, the TMOS shopping center. Shop from home and help us out. And no matter how stormy it gets, get it? You can shop there and never get wet.
See, Mike, if it rains and you leave the house.
I get it. Oh, my
Storm.
God.
Don't, Norman.
Right. You don't want that. Stay all dry. Right.
Thank you. Now back to me.
News.
News with Mike.
Boo. I like that.
Now back to me. News. Matt Damon, I like Matt Damon. I've always liked Matt Damon. He thinks we should have been more prepared for the coronavirus pandemic. If we saw his 2011 movie Contagion, he said, quote, Anybody who said you couldn't predict this, I mean, just look at Contagion. 10 years ago, we made a movie just talking to experts and asking them how this would look and kind of how this would go down. Matt also revealed that his oldest daughter contracted COVID-19 and has since recovered. Quote, she's in New York City and she has COVID. She had it really early on along with her roommates. And let me read that properly. She had COVID really early along with her roommates and got through it fine. Everybody's okay. But even though things are bad now and they're probably going to get worse before they get better, Matt is optimistic. He said, quote, I hope some good can come out of it. Luckily, this isn't as lethal as it might have been. So maybe this is really a good dry run for the big one that might come this December.
Oh, my God.
He didn't say that. I did.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
Like,
wow.
Because these things
do. I don't know that his theory is right, because Robert saw Good Will Hunting and he's still not doing well in math. So
what are you doing there on that chalkboard? Anyway, so Matt Damon, that's his story. Celebrities in the news.
Yes.
Matthew McConaughey, I saw him on Fox. He would love it if we would stop politicizing the coronavirus. And so to do that, he went on Fox News and he said, quote, this is not about politics. It's about us. I agree with Matthew McConaughey. It's about the USA. And
yes.
It's about the world. We've got to take care, but I think he was on Fox, so he's probably, you know.
Well, that's
we've got to take care of each other right now. We have a collective purpose. This is a tug of war with the virus. We need all hands on the rope. Who can disagree with that? Mm. And he also told everybody to wear a mask, which
I think was good.
Particular network.
Have mine here, right here, Mike, right here.
That's it. Very good.
I love that he's using his power for good. Because you know what? He's probably not, I'm just going to guess, not a huge Fox News fan, but he's getting the message out there.
I think he's, I know his brother, and, you never know.
He's not selling a lot of Lincolns these days, you know?
Yes.
That's right.
All right. More celebs. Beyonce and her mother, Tina Knowles Lawson, are trying to help accelerate coronavirus testing in underserved communities where a lot of minorities live.
Did her sister get involved at all?
What's her name?
Beyonce's sister?
Yes.
Solange Knowles.
No word about Solange here.
Okay, just checking.
But they're challenging other celebrities to do the same. The campaign is called hashtag I Did My Part. They started it in Houston, but other celebrities are joining in. Tyler Perry says he'll help implement the initiative in Atlanta. Octavia Spont. Do you hear the helicopters?
Yeah, what is that about? I was checking to make sure it wasn't me.
I didn't get to it on the show. We were so busy, I didn't get to, when you've got a hurricane off the coast that's moving, fortunately, away from a tropical depression, moving away from Florida, but we are having maybe 15 to 20 mile an hour average sustained winds and 35 mile an hour wind gusts, and we got wildfires down here all over the place.
But so other than that?
That's the helicopter flying over. Yeah, everything's great.
Great.
Couldn't be better. Minority communities hard hit by the virus, and Tyler Perry's involved, Beyonce and her mom, Octavia Spencer, Cookie and Magic Johnson, they're leading the charge in Detroit, so they're all, you know, pitching in, doing good, and I thought it was
Detroit Rock City.
Yes, right, baby. According to a new survey, the average American says they get confused about what day it is 5 times a week.
Well, now you would, because our ritual of getting up and going to work is dead.
Yes.
So the idea that someone's like, "What day is it again?" It's the same. If you are blessed enough to take maybe a vacation that's longer than 7 days,
yes, you can get confused.
Yes.
Right.
So we've been doing the same thing every day and not putting on our daily uniforms.
Right. Exactly.
So you lose track of what's happening.
Well, that's every day I get up, I say, is it Easter?
On our little job, we don't have that because we have to know what day it is. I mess the date up all the time.
Yeah.
I screw that up almost every week, a couple of times. But then again, I can't get through copy anymore. So my brain's going. So 5 times a week is a little high, but I guess you're right. Yeah. 59% of the people couldn't remember what day it was when they were taking the survey. That's funny.
No.
That's over half. I don't know. I don't buy that. The survey also found almost 3 out of 4 people say they've totally given up on real clothes at this point. And 1 in 3 use schnacks to help motivate themselves to get through work.
Same way you do with Frankie. Yeah. Come here and I'll give you a treat. Yeah.
Maybe tomorrow night we can bring in our favorite snacks too.
That a snack attack?
Snack.
It's all I've been living on. It's great.
Bring some snacks.
Hey, little snack.
Snacks. According to another group of people, one third of them who've been working from home during the pandemic admit they've been napping on the clock. And that's not the only non-work thing people have been squeezing in while they're working from home. More than 60% have spent more time on social media or texting than they used to when they had to go into work. Other things people have been doing include taking more breaks, playing video games, taking care of their... Well, they're at home, for God's sake.
Yeah.
Doing outdoor activities, applying for other jobs, and doing, quote, bedroom activities that would get you sent to HR.
I think
Pony might have done that today.
What's your take on someone that's, okay, how about this? You employ someone 40 hours a week, and they're an exceptional employee, and they get all the work done in 20. Right. I'm okay if they're getting the work done in a high-quality manner.
If it's done, and that's their job description,
that's
fine.
If I don't give you more work, that's on me.
But that's right.
Or you say, hey, like, I'm really blowing through this. Like, what else do you have if you want to be challenged? I'm fine. Either work. What doesn't work is when you're not doing the work and you're taking forever and you're like, that's when I think you're f***ing off all day.
Yeah, well, bedroom activities, Oscar. Bedroom activities.
It's tough to know when someone's at home. It's really tough to know what's going on.
It's actually, all of this nonsense, not nonsense, but the pandemic has pushed people to decide if they're going to start putting software on their employees' computers.
Oh, no, that can't happen.
Mike, it's already happening.
That is ridiculous. That's Big Brother. It's official. Yeah, controlling every move
we make. But if you give them the machine, it's their property. And if they want to work, you just have a screen scanner that can check out what they're doing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, hold on. Did you hear that?
Did you hear that?
That was the sound of Pony putting the lotion back in the cabinet. Your company knows when you're doing non-work stuff right now. Do they? Oscar said maybe.
Pony's cabinet.
35% of people who are working from home think their company is tracking what they're doing. 35% of people it's already happening, Oscar.
I've had people say, hey, let me switch to my personal computer. I don't know what type of surveillance software there's on this computer.
Sure.
Not because you're talking about anything. They just know if it's not about work, they're like, I don't want to get dinged for something out of the blue.
Yeah.
And you never know what's on that. You do a deep dive on the computer. By the way, all my porn's on all my work computers.
Good.
And now a little something.
Off to the cabinet.
Carla?
Are you afraid that the pandemic is going to keep you from eating a ton of different deep fried foods at state and county fairs this year? Thinking about that?
Yes.
Thank you. The Stark County Fair in Ohio is now doing a fair food drive where people can drive their cars onto the fairgrounds and get foods from different vendors, including deep-fried Oreos and steak on a stick.
Mm.
Fair organizers are counting on the fact that nothing will ever get in between Americans and their pursuit. God, Michael! Noon start. Obesity. Let me start again.
Okay, it's not the music.
Do it again.
Fair organizers are counting on the fact that nothing will ever get in between Americans and their pursuit of obesity. Thank you.
And Mike, I must tell you,
together.
I got to tell you that Manassas has extended the hot tub show. It's happening again this weekend at the fairgrounds. So head on out.
Load them up. We'll take a break and the audio vault with Rob Spiewak coming up on the Mike O'Mara Show. King's Thing. And now, here's Larry.
Jerry Orbach had a foul mouth and a great ass. I never graduated from anything. People in glass houses shouldn't drink bleach. Walter Mondale, pure class. By the way, something. Smell this. Shop at the TMOS Shopping Center. Target and Walmart, big bargains at TMOS.com. Buy it, baby. Be a helper. That's all.
Thank you, Larry. We appreciate it. Rob wants me to sing now, Oscar.
Just a little bit.
You're in the mood.
Yeah. Margaritas, Jack and rum. Margaritas, Jack and rum. And wives and calls and busting of balls. Margaritas, Jack and rum.
That's a good song.
Love it. I might go back to Jack if that's our anthem. It really is.
It's our anthem.
You yes. Have whatever you like. Yeah. That's yeah. why
if
we
that's
do.
That's our
it.
Anthem. I got to go back.
We're talking about the TMOS cocktail party featuring us guys, use guys, all the wives, and fun. Toot, toot, chugga, chugga, big time laughs. But wait.
What?
After the cocktail party, there's more. The TMOS bonus show. That's when the fun really begins, and we mean it really begins.
Oh, yes.
We provide it as a free service. But after the stream, it hides behind that cockamamie paywall. So make sure you tune in. Also, keep in mind, there are nearly 500 other commercial-free, uncensored bonus shows available to you for just pennies a day at MikeOMaraShow.com. And a subscription just might cure that dreaded halitosis that you notice Ooh. When you mask up. Like, who's in here with me? Garlic Man? Anyway, couldn't hide. It's your passport to the Asport. Copyright 2020 TMOS. Did you see that they were getting a passport, Asport passport T-shirts out there? Is that
that's not sanctioned
did we sanction
by
that?
Us? No.
Well, it's
no,
your
no.
guy that did it.
Yeah, no.
What's going on with that?
If our guy is mocking them up, we're just setting them up. You what you saw is the T-shirts that we sold 2 weeks
the limited
ago
run.
Going out.
The limited run.
Yes.
Ready to ship.
Passport to the Asport?
No.
These are the ones
no,
with
this
the...
this was Passport to the
did
Asport.
Did you saw a stack of gray shirts?
No, these were black shirts.
Black shirts with the Passport to the Asport.
Yes.
I'm talking to him this afternoon.
What's the one that had Rob with 1B? That's the one I saw, I think.
No,
that's the other shirt.
That's the old shirt. That's the one we yeah. sold.
Those are sanctioned shirts.
Yes.
I'm fine then.
I don't want anyone to be buying TMOS T-shirts like the guy that sells them outside the concert.
Yeah,
buy them through the website.
We need every nickel we can get.
Please.
Anyway, open up the audio vault. All right. Never mind. Let's open up.
Okay, Emily.
I think I'm tired today.
I'm tired. I know, Mike, I know what will perk you up.
Pull what out?
A new quarantine. You love Lynyrd Skynyrd, don't you?
Oh, I love Skynyrd. Sweet, I'm home in my pajamas.
Whoa.
It was a half beat later than I thought, but that was just, you know, I like to
predict.
Yeah,
that's because I was doing the Lynyrd Skynyrd thing, so I didn't do it.
Mike, Lakeland County, Florida? Yes?
Oh,
near you?
I know Lakeland. I know Lakeland, okay. Yeah.
They have a sheriff down there. His name is Grady Judd.
Grady, how you doing, Grady Judd?
Yeah. And he's pursuing someone that he only has footage of from a surveillance camera, as Liddy would say, a surveillance camera. And on this surveillance tape, Mike, a customer attacked another customer at a liquor store because he didn't say thank you when he held the door open. That's why there was a fight.
Not guilty.
I didn't think it was you.
It's the rudest goddamn thing in the world. And there are people that don't. Holding a door and then somebody walks through it. F you.
Junk store.
If you don't say, you don't get away with that. I'm with the guy. I'm with the culprit. Who
You're with Lakeland, Florida guy.
Grady Judd, Sheriff Grady Judd, took to social media to try to roust this guy out.
Come on, man. What are you thinking? Were your 3 brain cells in overload? Why don't you just let it go? Get you a bottle of liquor, go back to the house, have you a drink. But no, they've got to have a kerfuffle right there in the middle of the store. So we need the community's help. Look at our suspect and tell us who he is. Mm. And here's our promise. We'll open the door for you at the county jail. And say thank you if you open the door first.
I love this guy.
That's Grady Judd. Grady Judd.
That's a kerfuffle.
I love it. I love that.
Get a bottle of liquor, go home. I love that.
Congratulations, Mike, to the city of New York City with a new record. They have gone, because of the pandemic, 58 days without a pedestrian death.
That's
because
awesome.
No one's out there.
Yeah. So. Yeah.
I'm walking here. I'm walking here.
So congratulations to the people of New York City.
Well done.
You want to feel old? It was announced to David Spade that Tommy Boy this week celebrates its 25th anniversary.
Oh, wow.
Boy, that's hard to believe.
They asked him what it was like about missing Chris Farley and how the anniversary made him feel. And Oscar and I, we want to send our best virtual love out to David Spade because Comedy Central canceled his talk show during all this. And it was something special. It's an amazing, it was a great little show. And I hope he lands on his feet because I really
love
it.
Way to go, Comedy Central. Another one of your great moves. Great hire with Trevor Noah. Well done.
Isn't he terrible?
But
he's horrible.
Fire David Spade, but Trevor, no, he hasn't got one bit better. He's not funny.
I watched every episode of the David Spade show, Lights Out with David Spade.
That's great.
Every night there was at least five big laughs. I mean, so I hope he lands. But anyway, they asked him about what it was like, you know, 25 years after Tommy Boy with Chris Farley being gone.
I did hear that because obviously I love Tommy Boy. I love being a part of it. And 25th anniversary. It's such a bummer. We would have been on Tommy Boy 12 at this point.
Did you see, Mike, the British guy that did the Zoom call with his two dogs like it was a business meeting?
Oh, hysterically funny.
I want to play a clip of it. Funny. I loved it. His name is Andrew Cotter, and it's done just like a regular Zoom call you would have at work, and the dogs pop up. They look both like retrievers, and one is called Olive and one is called Mabel.
Right, so basically an update as to where we are. I can see you both look worried, but the good news from head office is that neither of you is going to be furloughed, but we have to try and repay that loyalty with some of our own. I know that's supposed to be a strength of yours. This is one of the things that we have to address, the lack of focus at times, because, there's the inappropriate stuff with Kevin the Doberman from accounts as well, but one thing at a time. So there are things that we have to try and improve on.
They're
okay, the annual
dogs.
Report, you've pretty much ruined the sofas. 913 squirrels chased, none caught, so not a good return.
So he said they didn't catch any squirrels, so it's a bad return.
They talk
about a three-minute thing worth watching, though.
Mabel, the dog, Mabel starts looking off camera like they and say, Mabel, this is what we're talking about with your focus. We need your focus. Oh, Oscar, you got to check it out. It's hysterical.
Isn't it Mabel goes away and comes back and she has a dog toy?
Yeah. Oh, so funny. So funny.
Can't wait.
And I went to the grocery store yesterday, mask, gloves, the whole deal. And I'll tell you what's really been hit hard is the meat department.
Mm.
You can't get the meat you want, and there's not a lot of it out there. However, Seth Meyers, we close with this, no need to worry about the meat shortage.
CEO of grocery chain Kroger said yesterday that Americans will have meat during the coronavirus pandemic, so long as they are, quote, flexible. Although, isn't being flexible on meat what got us into this in the first place?
Yeah. Food for thought. That's your Magic Audio Vault. Have a great Thursday, everybody. Please be safe.
Wet market joke.
Wet market.
Eating bad joke. Eating bad. Oh, that's great. All right. We got to get out of here. And we will be reconvening tomorrow night at 7 p.m. Mm-hmm. with our significant others as you join us. 7 p.m. Eastern time for the TMOS cocktail party. Bring your favorite libation and enjoy the unrehearsed comedy and the spontaneity where no one ever knows what's going to be said. You know,
we are fast becoming, Mike, the most popular improv troupe on the internet.
Fantastic. We'll see you tomorrow for Oscar Santana, Rob Spiewak, Mike O'Mara saying so long, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Ciao.
Before you go, please make a mental note. Today's show was made possible by the TMOS bonus packages. You can secure yours right now by going to MikeO'MaraShow.com and clicking on the red bonus banner. Buy it or give it. Either way, you're helping out TMOS, and that's a good thing. Thank you, and go in peace.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
All I require from you is your bank account details and sort code, and we can wire you their monies directly.
Don't tell me you're infertile. I ain't falling for that again.
I need TV for my bunghole.
I'm Federal Agent Jack Bauer, and today is the longest day of my life.